We'll find it in a minute. There we go. I mentioned that just singing that song, that Jesus strong and kind. And I encourage the first service to do this. I'll encourage you the same. Jesus strong and kind is introduced to us by a group. I don't know if they wrote it. I think they did. A group called City Alight. Some of you may be aware of them. They're an Australian group. They started out, I think, as a worship leaders in an Anglican church in Australia. And they sing that song, Jesus Strong and Kind, and I would really encourage you to watch the video. I'm sure it must be on YouTube or something. And the official video for the song is two of the leaders of City Alight in a classroom. It looks to be like grade one or two, singing to the children. It's a wonderful little video, and I would encourage you to watch it. It's a juxtaposition of strength and kindness is a wonderful thing. Jesus is strong and kind. We know strong people who aren't very kind, and you just want to hide from them. And then there are people who are kind, but they really can't help you. But Jesus is strong and kind. It's a beautiful combination, and that's what our Savior is. Before we start, let's pray. Father, help us to understand what is before us. We pray that this preacher would only say what should be said, say nothing that disagrees with the book that you have given to us. We pray you would feed our souls with the Word of God. We pray, Father, that we would have from this message this morning knowledge of where we should be more committed, where we should repent, use it to encourage the saints, to convict the lost. Use this message and these texts of scriptures that we will read for your purposes. We marvel, O our God, that you have purposes formed before the foundations of the world, part of which will be accomplished through the preaching of your word at this hour. May we stand in stark awe at what you are able to do. Bless us now, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. There is a scene in the movie Field of Dreams where Ray Kinsella is taking Terrence Mann to a Boston Red Sox baseball game. And as they are walking past the concession stand, Ray Kinsella, who sort of arm-twisted Mann into coming to this baseball game, pretended to have a gun in his pocket. You know? And so they get to the baseball game, and they're walking past the hot dog stand, and Kinsella says, "So what do you want?" And Mann replies, "I want them to stop looking to me for answers, begging me to speak again, write again, be a leader. I want them to start thinking for themselves. I want my privacy." Kinsella says, "No, I mean, what do you want?" and points at the hot dog stand. He says, "Oh, dog and a beer." So, you know, what do you want? Heather asks me what I want for Christmas or what I want for my birthday, and I always give the same answer. I say, "Peace on earth." And she hasn't given it to me yet, but we're still hopeful. We know the Lord will someday. So Kinsella, he asks Mann about an unimportant desire about what he wants to snack on while he's watching the baseball game. Mann thought he was being asked what he wanted on a much larger scale, what he wanted from life in order to be happy. We are in the Sermon on the Mount this morning, and in particular, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the part that we call the Beatitudes. It's from the Latin word meaning blessed or happy. We are not going to go through all eight of the Beatitudes. I just want to focus on the fourth one, which is in verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. This beatitude, this beatitude is part of the answer to the question, what do you want? Hunger and thirst for righteousness, or what should you want, perhaps? The beatitude are marks of what a real Christian is, or, at the very least, what a person who is approaching Christ to be saved by Christ has had happen to him. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Someone comes to realize that spiritually they are impoverished. They have nothing to give to God by which he should save them. They realize that spiritually they are poor. They cannot pay the price. And they're hoping that it'll be paid for them. Isaiah 55, come you who have no money, come buy. But how can you buy without money? Because Jesus buys it for you. And that's what this is. This is salvation. The poor in spirit. And they come to him, the poor in spirit, and they get the kingdom of heaven. And we who are Christians, we maintain and we should maintain and keep this poverty of spirit. Because ours is the kingdom of heaven. This describes Christians. Blessed are those who mourn. We mourn over our sin. We mourn over a world that is busy running away from God. And we come to Christ mourning our sin, and we find comfort because he forgives us and welcomes us in and saves us. Blessed are the meek, similar to humility, similar to poverty of spirit, and they shall inherit the earth, the new heavens and the new earth, and we shall dwell there forever. These are salvation verses. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Somebody comes to see that he is not righteous, and he wants to be righteous, and he comes to Christ. Lord, I'm not right. And he makes us right with him, and we get the imputed righteousness, the credited righteousness of Christ. We get Christ's sinless, perfect righteousness credited to us. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be satisfied. And when you have the sinless perfection of Christ credited to you, you will be satisfied. And goes on the rest. So these are the marks of a supernatural grace at work in the heart of a repentant sinner. They reflect the work, the change that God works in our hearts. And we are focusing on this fourth one. And so it's true of us when we come to Christ, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and we receive the very righteousness of Christ counted as our own. But it doesn't stop there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I know this much about you. You are not yet as righteous as you should be. And I know this about you. You're not happy about it. Who here who is a follower of Christ doesn't want to be more like Christ, more righteous? It's the mark of the saint. And so we hunger, we thirst for righteousness. I am not happy about my sin. I'm not happy about the thoughts that enter and stay and take up camp for a while. I'm not happy with everything I say. Where did that come from? And you say something, you try to grab it and put it back in, but it won't go back. The damage has been done. And we go back to, oh Lord, I did it again. I want to be righteous. That's us. I had a book once entitled, I say I had it. Christians are great bookkeepers, you know. I loaned it, and I hope it's still accomplishing some good somewhere in the world. But it was called Come Down, Lord. And it was an exposition of Isaiah 64, verse 1, which says, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains may shake before you. And the book is just a call for the revival of the Western church. And there's one comment. I read the book in the late 80s, 89 or 90, and I remember one phrase out of that book that has never left me. And talking about the revival that's needed in the church, the author said, we need to get our wanters fixed. We need to get our wanters fixed. And that's true. hungering and thirsting for righteousness is wanting righteousness. Romans 1 is very plain that the judgment of God upon a people is when he lets them do what they want. Three times in Romans 1, in verse 24, 26, and 28, we are told that God gave them up to do what they wanted. We think that's freedom, do whatever you want. Romans 1 says it is a sign of the judgment of God. When whatever sin enters into your heart to do, you can do it with no restrictions, and the fences have been broken down, the doors are wide open, and you can go and do whatever you please. A culture can go and do whatever it pleases, a sign of the judgment of God upon it. Psalm 105, verse 14 and 15 say this: the people of Israel had a wanton craving in the wilderness and put God to the test in the desert. He gave them what they asked, but sent a wasting disease among them. So here are a people with wanting cravings to sin, and they pray to God to allow them to. It says, he gave them what they asked, and they pray to be able to do these things, and God says, okay, you can do it. And the ESV says, he sent a wasting disease among them, but I prefer the King James Version on this one. The King James Version of this verse 15, Psalm 106 says, he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. He gave them a withered soul. He let them have what they wanted, and it withered up their souls. And so, the question before us as we read, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, is, what do you want? I wanted to find three words that are found in the beginning of this beatitude: blessed, blessed, hunger and thirst, and righteousness. Blessed sometimes gets translated happy, and nothing wrong with that. The word does mean happiness, but we need to give it some depth. It's not, there are ways to define happiness that this is deeper than. It's not just, in my favorite television show, my favorite character won, he beat the bad guy. That makes me happy. Much deeper than that. It's a state of being blessed by God. In the Beatitude we're looking at, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. It's doing and being what God smiles upon. I did this and it was righteous, and I know that my God is pleased with me. And there is a happiness that comes from that that outweighs all the happinesses. This is glorious stuff, to know that you did something that pleases our Father. Those who are truly happy are those who have this hunger and thirst for righteousness. And note this very well. Note it very well. Jesus is not saying here that the person who hungers to be happy is happy. This is saying that happiness, the blessedness, is a byproduct. This and all the Beatitudes. Happy are those who mourn. Well, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, it does. Because we mourn our sin, and God forgives our sins through Christ, and it makes us happy. But we weren't aiming at happiness. We were aiming at righteousness. And we come to Christ longing to be counted righteous, and he does it for us. And that makes us happy. The world says your goal should be happiness. No, no, no. Your goal is to please God. And when you have a heart changed by Christ and you make it your goal to please God, that'll make you happy. So there's a deep-seated happiness that exists even in the presence of sadness. We're not happy with the sins of the world. We're not happy with the wars that are going on. We're not happy with our own sin. We're not happy that people are happy in sin. There's a bunch of stuff. I'm not happy when I get the bad diagnosis. I'm not happy when my friend sticks a stick in my eye. I'm not happy about a lot of stuff. But all those things that make me unhappy cannot take this happiness away. It stays, even though there's an unhappiness up here. Down here, deep, is a happiness that cannot be destroyed because God puts it there and God keeps it there and God makes it happen. So blessed are those, happy are those who hunger and thirst. And this hunger is nothing else but an earnest craving, a strong desire. Jesus didn't say, blessed are those who have a passing interest in righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, who crave, who long for righteousness. This is to crave it ardently. I think the best comment on this kind of craving is 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. Like a baby who wants to sleep and be dry and be fed. Be like a baby at feeding time. He's squawking because he wants nothing else but food, and he will not be happy until that food is given to him. It is a craving. Here is the person who is hungry, and you offer them, you know, a trinket. You say, God bless you, and go on your way. He will not be satisfied. He will not be satisfied until that hunger is satisfied. It's a craving. Happy are those who crave righteousness. Boiled down, the word righteousness is simply to be right. Not in the sense that I'm right and you're wrong, na-na-na-na on you. Not that. Not when you get proved right and I win the argument and aren't we all happy. No. It's knowing that you have done what pleases your master, what makes God happy. It is integrity and virtue and purity of life. It is uprightness and correctness in thinking and correctness in feeling and doing what God wants us to do. And Christians are those who crave to be people of integrity and virtue and purity of life and uprightness and correctness in thinking and feeling and doing what God wants us to do. So there we are. Happy are those who have a craving to be right in the eyes of God. And the question for us as we begin in this is this: what do you want? What do we long for? Do I long for righteousness? And it's not a small matter. This is not, blessed are those who long for a dog and a beer. This is, blessed are those who long for righteousness. Our souls hang in the balance. Those who are coming to Christ long to have this. Ask God for this, and he will give it to you through your faith in Jesus Christ. Those who have Christ and are empowered by the Spirit to live righteously, our sins make us ache. Oh no, not again. And we long to be more and more conformed to the image of Christ for which God has destined us. Jesus puts it this way later on in this sermon in Matthew chapter 6. Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all those things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hunger and thirst for righteousness is nothing but a hunger for God himself. He is the perfect righteous one. And to hunger for that is to hunger for him. And we stand before God after we are saved, and he sees us with the righteousness of Christ. He sees us as if we are Christ. It's a stunning thing. And we long to act like God sees us. credits us, counts us. The Apostle Paul makes an amazing statement in Philippians 3 when he says that he wants, well, you pick it, Paul's sentences are so long, but he says that that I may know him. He said, I want to know God. You say, doesn't the Apostle Paul know God? Yeah, but he's not satisfied yet. He hungers and thirsts to know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. That was the Apostle Paul's longing, to be like Christ. This is a craving. And when you have a craving, you do what it takes to get it satisfied. And so we are told such things. I read these verses with the word pursue in them. This is what God is talking about when he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Listen now. Romans 14, 19. Let us pursue what makes for peace. You know, you come to Jesus, I'm seen like Christ now. You know, sit back and God's going to zap me with this. No, dear ones. He says, now that you have the Holy Spirit and you are empowered by God himself, go chase after this stuff. Because this is what you want and I will give it to you. But this Christian life is not for those who get in their lazy boy with a dog and a beer and a clicker and just say, okay, God, zap me with righteousness. No, no. Pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. 1 Timothy 6:11, talking to Timothy. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. To Timothy again in Paul's second letter to him, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. 1 Peter 3, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Pursue peace. To pursue peace is to pursue righteousness, is to hunger and thirst. The hunger for righteousness that's the mark of the Christian will result in pursuing it, chasing it, not being satisfied until we catch it. And it's not just a pursuit, it's an all-out assault. The NIV translates a word for the ESV calls it, I think, oh, what word does the ESV use? Strive, the ESV said. But I like the way the NIV translates this word for strive. It comes from a Greek word to mean to agonize over, to be in agony until you get it. Luke 13, 24, Jesus says, make every effort. The NIV translates that word agonize as make every effort. And that's our mark. We've been saved and we want to be righteous. And God says, it's almost like God says, prove it. Prove it. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Romans 14, 19. Make every effort what leads to peace and mutual edification. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Hebrews 4, 11. Make every effort to enter that rest. Hebrews 12, 14. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. 2 Peter 1, 5. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness and to goodness knowledge. 2 Peter 1, 10. Make every effort to confirm your calling and election. 2 Peter 3, 14. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Put the effort in. Chase after it. Hunger and thirst for it. Making every effort, that is this hunger and thirst. This is what craving causes. That is what is needed in a world that is constantly telling us that other things must be desired. The world tells us, here it is. Come and get it. And God says, you can do better. chase after this. And if we don't pay attention, folks, we'll buy what the world offers. My favorite for this effort thing, saved by free grace, and yet we're told to push, is Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. And every time I read it, I think of the little story about the farmer. A man is driving along, he sees a farmer leaning on the fence, and he sees this beautiful field full of nice crops that are going to be harvested soon, and he stops and he says to the farmer, God sure has given you a good crop in your field. And the farmer said, yeah, you should have seen this field when God had it all to himself. Didn't look near so good. But we can't make things grow, and God did give it to him. But listen to this. Listen to what the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, says to his son. Proverbs 2, 3 to 5. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight, raise your voice for understanding, seek it like silver, search for it as for hidden treasure. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Wait a minute. This text says, receive it, treasure it, be attentive to it, incline your heart, call out for it, raise your voice for it, seek it like silver, search for it. And when you get it, you say, oh, all that work paid off. No, you do all that, and then you will say, how good God has been to me to give me this. I got a little garden. Not much. I put a few potatoes in last week and some carrots and tomatoes and peppers and a few other things. I come in, my back is sore, and the back of my neck and the small of my back are all covered in mosquito bites. And I do that, and then I water it and I weed it, but I can't make that thing grow. And I plant it in the morning, and I go out that night to see if I can pick a tomato yet. And it takes a while, and it starts to come. What did I do? God's doing it. And so we put all this effort. And the text says, for they shall be filled. And so, especially to the young, I beg of you, hear this. Your salvation is not just a matter of making a decision. Your salvation is a change of loyalty. It is taking up your cross and following Christ. And you have to set your sights like flint upon the kingdom of God and His righteousness and make your battle plan and go for it with all the strength that God will give you. Look at Proverbs 2. My son, he says to the young, seek it like silver. Search for it as hidden treasure. And God will give it to you. Dear ones, the kingdom of heaven is not for the faint of heart. It is for those who count the cost and sign up anyway. It is for those who want what is the very best and will not take a counterfeit, and Satan's business is counterfeiting. Verse in, I forget the reference, in Revelation, where John sees a lamb and it has horns like a goat. He tries to make himself look like a sheep, but he's not. And if we are not wise, and if we do not pursue righteousness, we will be fooled. And we'll say, what a cute little lamb. And it'll destroy us. One of Earl's favorite children's songs, I learned it from him, actually. I think this is the third week in a row Earl's made my message. But nevertheless, I met Jesus at the crossroads, where the two ways meet. Satan, too, was standing there, and he said, come this way. Lots and lots of treasures I can offer you today. But I said, no, there's Jesus here. Just see what he offers me. Down here, my sins forgiven. Up there, a home in heaven. Thank God that's the way for me. That's not a bad thing to teach kids. Not a bad thing to remember ourselves. You can come to me later, and I'll sing it to you. So just, we are to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And if you do not, you will not find it. But you will find alternatives, and they will destroy you. But there's a promise attached to this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. They shall be filled, the older versions say. And we ask the question, filled with what? Well, what are you hungry for? You shall be filled with what you hunger for. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled with righteousness. This is very sobering to me. Why am I not more righteous than I am? Because I don't want it as much as I should. For if I hunger and thirst for righteousness, I shall be satisfied. I shall be filled with it. Oh Lord, you mean to say that my level of righteousness is in direct proportion to my level of desire for it? Yeah. And that is very sobering. And so fill in the blanks, folks. I would be happy if. What do you put in the blank? How do you finish that sentence? I would be happy if. And not everything is wrong, but what's at the top of the list is what we're talking about. I'd be happy if there were peace on earth. That's why I asked Heather for it. But I want to be righteous. I want to be like him. We need our wanters fixed. And this hunger for righteousness will make me dissatisfied with my current level of righteousness. Are you satisfied with how holy you are? No. I don't see how a real Christian can be. What will it take to satisfy me? More money, more this, more that, more whatever. What are you dissatisfied with? Chase after it by all means. Make sure righteousness is higher on the list. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. What a promise that is. We have the promise of righteousness here. He shall be filled. Delight yourself in the Lord, and you will have the desires of your heart. And far too many people interpret that verse, I mean, you know, delight yourself in the Lord, and you can get the Mercedes, and you can get the big income, and you can, you know, get all this stuff that the world chases after. The verse doesn't say that. The verse says, delight yourself in the Lord. Where's your delight? In him. And you shall get the desires of your heart. If you delight yourself in the Lord, what is the desire of your heart? Him. Delight yourself in the Lord, and you shall get him. Because that's where my delight is. This isn't about getting a car. This is not about money. It's about him. I delight in him. And he says, good, I'll give you me. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you shall be filled. And be happy with no substitutes. We've hinted at it already. To really hunger for something is to accept no substitutes. We have 4 children. Heather was pregnant 6 times. The things she craved for would curl your hair, you know, what she wanted to eat while she was pregnant, you know. And sometimes it didn't even seem to me to be food, but she wanted it. But you can't give in to those kinds of cravings. Accept no substitutes. You remember your mother saying to you when you asked for the cookie at 4:45, and she said, no, you can't have a cookie now. Why? It'll ruin your appetite. You fill yourself full of junk and you won't want the good food that I have prepared for you. And the same is true in life. We fill ourselves with junk. And when the righteousness shows up that we are to crave, we don't want it. Because we're full of other things. And we think we're satisfied. Listen to this proverb, 27:7. One who is full hates honey, but to the one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet. Very hungry, and I'll take anything to satisfy my hunger. No, dear ones, we must not fall into this trap. We are to be very hungry, but we will accept no substitutes. And the world and Satan offers us substitutes. Paul says of Demas to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. He had a hunger, and he let the wrong things satisfy it. And dear Christian, we will not be satisfied with anything, but to be more and more conformed to the image of Christ. The old computer principle says garbage in, garbage out. Right? The computer's behaving like an idiot because I told it to. What are you putting in? Don't be satisfied with anything but His righteousness. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. This is the mark of the true child of God. And then the question becomes, am I one? And you can be one. You need to see that your righteousness is as filthy rags. And you come to Christ and say, I want a better righteousness than this. I need my sins dealt with. And He will say, okay. I will credit you. I will give you the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I will give you my Spirit and plant in you a desire for real righteousness, lived out, spoken out for all your days. And you come to me hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and you shall be satisfied. God bless you.